KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
KJAN News is brought to you by Lindemann Tractor, a family-operated business offering farm equipment that works as hard as you do. And at 7:08, we have a partly cloudy sky, and it's 56 degrees in Atlantic. We do have some areas of fog, and we expect those areas of fog to burn off and skies to be partly cloudy today with a high of 82, east-southeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. The Cass County Board of Supervisors Tuesday morning received a presentation on ISICS, that's the Iowa Statewide Interoperable Communications System. During a nearly two-hour question and answer session, ISICS Interoperability Coordinator Chris Myers explained the difference between a VHF legacy system and a trunked radio system like ISICS. The latter uses a 700 megahertz digital frequency, while the old system is analog.
The trunk system is much more efficient than a standard VHF system. So if you think about the way it was with legacy VHF, if you wanted to have a sheriff's repeater, if you wanted to have a fire ground, if you wanted to have paging systems, if you wanted to have all sorts of stuff, you had to buy repeaters for each one. You had to hire a tower crew for each discipline. You had to get an FCC license for each discipline. And then you had to actually physically install the equipment, program radios, and then any other remedial work that would have to be done.
VHF, he says, may have channels that are not idle 90% of the time, while the trunked radio system can be configured to support the entire county. The problem is the county has signal dropout zones or dead spots. Cass County has bent over backwards over the years to prepare for communications upgrades, including purchasing a new console for the Cass County Communications Center, along with mobile radios, to name a few of the improvements. But the dead spots in signal reception remain due to the county's topography. Supervisor Steve Green said Cass and other counties were caught between a rock and a hard place when ISICS came out.
State went out and built ISICS, and Motorola and the whole system knew that counties would have to build onto that system to make them viable. And the rural counties do not have the checkbook that the metropolitan counties have. To us, it's a big thing to spend $6, $7, $8, $9 million when what we had was working reasonably well.
He said the county has been negotiating with Motorola for a tower and related enhancements for a tower site to complete ISICS connectivity.
Motorola gave us their first proposal. It was $5.8 million, but that didn't include fiber optics to all the towers. It didn't include anything for fire paging or anything of that nature. It basically was some radios and three towers. We found out we didn't need all those towers. We've been kind of whittling it back, trying to find out what we really need. Their numbers changed. It turned that the $5.8 million, those weren't enhanced. We'd have had to enhance those. Was it $700,000 per tower to make the enhancement deal that all of a sudden came up when this last proposal came in?
The latest proposal calls for the construction of a communications tower to handle ISICS. It's estimated the cost will be around $3 million. Installing a pad for a tower, erecting the tower and other facets of it could take anywhere from 9 to 18 months.
So for me personally, as a county supervisor, this is a lot of money. We haven't factored in the cost of the fiber optic and things like that, or whether we want to do the microwave to Adair and things of that nature. But I need to know that the citizens of the county stand behind it.
Steve Green said before the county takes any action, he wants to see the city councils for each city in the county to discuss with their citizens the advantages of the system, how much it would cost, and if bonding for the project is a viable option. In other news, the supervisors approved a request for grant matching funds from the Cass County Fire Association, which received a Department of Homeland Security grant for the purchase of mobile radios. The 5% local match totals $17,699.62. The supervisors also approved the fiscal year 2020-2021 urban renewal report. The Cass County Auditor's Office on Tuesday said one candidate filed nomination papers that day to have their name on the ballot for the November 2nd city elections. The latest to file is Simon Jensen, who is running for one of the three seats on the Oneida City Council. And as of Tuesday, the following candidates have filed to run for offices in Cass County: for Mayor of Atlantic, Councilpersons Pat McCurdy, Grace Garrett, and Kathy Summers from the City of Atlantic; Atlantic City Council 5th Ward incumbent Dick Cassidy; for the mayor of Oneida to fill a vacancy, John Knutson is running for that position. He was appointed with a term ending in November of 21. The Oneida City Council has three seats open, and incumbent Simon Jensen, as I mentioned, filed his nomination papers. They need a city council to fill a vacancy. Mark Harris, the incumbent, has filed papers for that post. City of Atlantic's Parks and Recreation Board, where there's one seat open, Shirley Jensen has filed for that. In the Cumberland City Council, where there's three seats open, incumbents Mike Hill and Darren Hardesty have filed to run. And for Cumberland City Mayor, Nancy Virginia Coughlin, the incumbent, has also filed her papers to run. Those are the latest persons to file papers with the Cass County Auditor's Office for the upcoming city elections. And nomination papers may be filed with the Cass County Auditor's Office until 5 p.m. on September 16th. I'm Rick Hansen reporting. KJAN News was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor, your New Holland and Kinsey dealer in Atlantic. Lindemann Tractor, true blue.